You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. You can also find us online at www.cjsf.ca, or you can call us at 778-782-CJSF.
How do we become a sustainable world? As the stakes for our survival continues to rise, so does our global consciousness. We are in the midst of a great spiritual awakening and are laying the foundations for a happy, peaceful, just, and sustainable world. With clear vision, determination, and a positive attitude, we are making sustainability happen. The transformation is already underway. You are listening to Sustainable Futures.
On the show today, we're going to have the second segment of our interview with Maureen Jack Lacroix from the Be the Change Earth Alliance.
Their role and responsibility in weighing in. There's no neutral ground at this point. If you're not positively participating in being aware of how to be in the world, then you are actually being a destructive force in the world. There's no neutral ground.
We're also going to have an interview with some local SFU students on Earth Hour.
The goal this year is for over 1 billion people to participate. Already there are 74 countries and territories on boat with the Earth Hour.
And we will be interviewing Ricky Makitoshi of Echo Circle.
Their customers return their used polyester products to the stores, which will be sent to a recycling plant in Japan, where we chemically decompose them and convert it into new polyester raw material.
And we'll have some more audio from the Sustainable SFU Festival. Welcome to Sustainable Futures. That song is Like a Mountain, and it's by Moira Campbell. We are going to have the second part of the fabulous Maureen Jack Lacroix interview on the show today. And we'll also be having three other segments. This is a full jam-packed show here today. These segments include, we have an interview about Earth Hour. This is a very topical interview, but something that you can do tomorrow as part of an interesting event, Earth Hour. And our correspondent and sometimes co-host, Maria Firstadter, has done this interview for Sustainable Futures. Then there is an interview with a company from Japan called Echo Circle, and I caught up with Ricky Makitoshi, who is the North American correspondent of this company. We'll talk about what they do for the environment. And finally, the show will be finished off with some more interviews from the SFU Sustainability Festival that happened 6 months ago. It's a festival. CJSF had a bunch of interviews introducing people who do things around campus and further abroad for sustainability. So it's a sort of getting to know your sustainability activism environment type of feature here. However, first off is the second half of the Be the Change Earth Alliance interview had with Maureen Jack Lacroix. So we're starting in from the middle end of the interview. It was over an hour long, this interview. It was very fascinating. At this point, the interview takes a turn towards more of the global perspective. We're taking a very, very broad perspective on human history and looking at this time in history and what our actions in this present time means in the context of all time. So yeah, it wasn't just a little chit-chat. It was very, very broad. An in-depth, deep interview. And I guess we'll just move in right here. You can tell how relaxed it was, too. It was a very nice interview. One of my favorites. Now, what's the significance of this time in history? You've been speaking a bit about this evolving consciousness and things sort of coming together. And perhaps you're even saying in Vancouver particularly. I'll let you answer to that in a minute. Do you think there is something about this particular time in history that is a sort of evolution of consciousness? Because I'm quite familiar, and I think quite a few people are familiar at this point in time with the Mayan idea of the year 2012. Do you put any stock into that? Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I certainly am. Mm-hmm. I think we are at a very, very significant point in history. Joanna Macy calls it the Great Turning that's underway. Thomas Berry recognizes that we're at the end of the Cenozoic era, which saw the greatest proliferation of diversity, of beautiful life that this world has ever seen. Mm-hmm. And we're now coming into the Ecozoic era, where we need to recognize that we are a force of nature and to work and live in balance with the other forces of nature so that, you know, we're becoming conscious in that way. The Great Turning that Joanna Macy speaks to says, she says that this is happening on three levels simultaneously. There's the eco-activists that are trying to hold back the destructive ways and forces at hand as best they can, slow them down, you know, so that there's like, please, can we have one frog left, one tree left? I mean, they're mm-hmm. just doing everything they can through political means and barricades and to slow down the destructive forces at hand. Then the second aspect that is part of this Great Turning is what she calls the eco-innovators. So this is our creative intelligence that is looking at other ways of doing it, other ways that aren't destructive. And, you know, in that process, rediscovering ways that our grandparents did things that were very, made a lot of sense. You know, mm-hmm. you take the fruit, you can it in a glass jar, you yeah. use the same glass jar for 20 years. And
there is quite a bit to that, yeah.
You know, and so we're yeah. revisiting things that we have. And then we're also discovering new things with our science, with our, you know, solar power and new energy forms and wind power. And we're looking at how to conserve energy and how to become, you know, the value of bioregionalism as opposed to this assumption that globalization was the way to go. So our eco-innovators and within us, our eco-innovation is at work right now. And the third significant part that she spoke to was eco-consciousness. And that there is this rising consciousness that recognizes our radical interconnectedness with all of life, that cherishes all of life, and is becoming more compassionate and relational, I think, and letting go of this illusion of separation that we've been living under for too long. So all of that arising all together in this Great Turning, this is a very significant point in time. Mm. We're down to the last 10% of our species, mm-hmm. the last 10% of the great fish, the elephants, the tigers, the lions, the last 10%. Mm-hmm. We've got the last 10% of the forest. We're really, we're on the edge of extinction mm-hmm. ourselves, and we're, you know, bringing down the yeah. whole diversity of life with us.
Yeah.
But the good point, the possibility, the potential is life on this planet has always gotten to the edge of extinction before it made that yeah. quantum leap to what the next way of being was.
Uh-huh.
So that's where we're at, and I'm all in for all of us and every one of your listeners recognizing their role and responsibility and weighing in. There's no neutral ground at this point. If you're not positively participating in being aware of how to be in the world, then you are actually being a destructive force in the world. There's no neutral ground. So that's a significant point in history, I think. I'm not going to speak to the whole Mayan calendar.
Yeah, that's quite a lot to talk about. Yeah.
I love it. I love all of these great teachings of the past. I just am not conversant enough with that to go there.
Yeah, okay. And what about Vancouver? Do you think that this is a significant place for a significant change?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I mean, Greenpeace came out of Vancouver, right? Mm-hmm. We've had amazing, beautiful things come out of Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I don't know. I'm a Vancouverite, so it's easy for me to go, yeah, this is the center of the universe.
And, of course, anywhere is good. It doesn't have to be us. Yeah.
Exactly. But I think we should all feel that way about wherever we are.
Yeah.
Because there is every part of this planet is the most precious, beautiful place in the world.
And every part of the planet is the center of the world.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. Good for you. Yeah. And every part of the planet is the center of the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, also from your website, I caught this term, Earth literacy. What is this Earth literacy?
Well, a lot of what we've been speaking to today, Ryan, is Earth literacy. It's recognizing the wisdom of how to be in relationship with the Earth and all aspects of Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so Earth literacy includes the universe story. It includes permaculture. It includes bioregionalism. It includes, you know, everything from composting toilets and cob houses to green roofs and riding your bike. It's another term for really being aware of sustainable lifestyle choices.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So going back to the individual level, what would you say the process is of achieving a sustained behavior change?
The process, I believe, for maintaining a sustained behavior change is, number one, don't try to do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
A big part about this behavior change that we're talking about and the shift in consciousness is recognizing we're not alone. So on that note, then bring community into the practice of behavior change. That's absolutely essential.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the circles. And they're not, you know, a fluke. This is, again, ancient wisdom. Anytime our species has been under siege, we have met in circles. That's how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And behavior change number one, do it in community. And I recommend in circle.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, recognize that every conscious choice is important. And don't get overwhelmed by all the choices. Just take one at a time. In fact, our practice for working with the Be the Change Action Guide, which has over 350 actions in it, the first step we do is read the whole guide and tick off everything we're already doing.
Because
that's a great way of reflecting on where we are and seeing ourselves and acknowledging ourselves for the good things we are doing. And then in community, choosing action each week that we're ready to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it comes back to our title, Be the Change. So in choosing the action, choose the action that calls to you, because your soul needs to lead in this process. You know, again, in the feminine masculine, we have given the masculine the lead traditionally, and now it's time to let the feminine lead.
Mm-hmm.
And let the intuition lead. And don't by any means forsake our masculine. Our masculine is our strength. It's our warrior. So, you know, when I go to the coffee shop, and I did this a few times, having, you know, my wisdom was like, I'm not going to buy any more disposable cups. So then I'm out, and I have forgotten my traveler, and I really want, you know, a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And I go into the store, and I'm like, wow, you know, this is it. And so it's my masculine that comes up.
The warrior.
It's my warrior that comes up and says, no, you're not going to have your effing coffee.
Thou shalt not.
Is if you go without.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's when my masculine comes up and holds the line, right? And I'm like, okay. And I scurry off. And same thing with the cloth bags instead of the plastic bags. And again and again and again. I need both.
Mm-hmm.
So where were we? It's don't do it alone, do it in community. Do something, and do something you know, give yourself a program that supports you in doing that something, and consistently do it again and again, because we're creating new habits. And they say to do something 7 times is the minimum that you need to do in order for it to be a new habit. And then when it becomes a habit, I don't have to work at it. You know, I don't work at not using disposable cups anymore. I don't waste any energy there. It's completely embedded in my being. I can put my thought to the next thing I'm doing, right? So do it enough so it becomes a habit, and then that's part of the strength. That's part of the strength of the container that we are. And do it with love and joy. Do it with a sense of meaning and purpose.
Okay.
So that we feel good about what we're doing. This isn't about feeling bad and having to sacrifice and giving up. That's not what this is about. This is about being a powerful force for good and feeling really good about that. Because it brings, it, you know, we have an opportunity here to have great meaning in our lives by taking this on. And that's what we want as beings more than anything, is we want some meaning. And, you know, a lot of us have got jobs that we're doing so that we pay the rent, and we need to do that, you know? And that's our warrior saying, you got to do what you got to do to survive. And we need meaning at the same time. So this is a wonderful opportunity to bring great meaning into our lives. And this is what we can share with our great-grandchildren when they say, what did you do when you knew that the earth was unraveling? What did you do? Well, we better be able to have something to say.
Okay.
This so is those are the three. I think I'll just leave it at three.
Okay.
Do it in community.
Yeah.
Do it, you know, do it consistently and with practice, and do it coming from the heart.
Okay.
With great joy.
Sky was light and the land all dark. Sun rose up over Central Park. I was walking home from work, Gaia. The petal sky and the rosy dawn. World turning on the burning sun. Sacred wet green one that we live on, Gaia. Gaia. Run, 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 said the automobile, and we ran. Run for your life, take to your heels. Foolish school of fish on wheels, Gaia. Turn away from your animal kind. Try to leave your body just to live in your mind. Leave your cold, cruel Mother Earth behind. If you were your own creation, as if you were the chosen nation, the world around you, just a rude and dangerous invasion.
Save us from us.
that town in a single file. Up and up and up, mile after mile after mile. The tree line and I dropped my pack, sat down on my haunches and I looked back down over the mountain, helpless, speechless, breathless. Forest, pray to a tree, pray for the fish and the deep blue sea, pray for yourself and for God's sake, save one for me. Poor wretched unbeliever,
a direction of this conversation that has called itself, and that is new generations, children. Of course, to be sustainable, you have to continue to have children, and that goes down through the generations. Where do children fit into this whole story here, this whole program?
Where do children fit in? Well, you know, that's the seven generations, right? That's letting go of this ridiculous, self-centered, separate illusion of being alone.
Mm-hmm.
We need to connect with our ancestors, and we need to connect with our future generations. And Joanna Macy says they're all here with us in every moment.
Mm-hmm.
They are the wind in our sails, and mm-hmm. they're watching, and they're giving us strength, and they care.
Mm-hmm.
So the children are our hope. This is, if we can't do it for ourselves, do it for our children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one thing that I think people often look at, what motivates a lot of people that I've been talking to about sustainability, particularly environment, is just this. It's like, well, it may seem comfortable where I am now, but what are my children going to live in? What's my, you know, what world is my children going to grow up in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's so important to constantly look to that, because it's easy for me to look outside my window right now, and it's a beautiful day,
yeah.
You know, and I've got this beautiful garden, and the, you know, buds are starting on the tree, and spring is about to arrive, and I can easily go, well, there's nothing wrong, you
mm-hmm.
know, there's nothing wrong. There's no reason why I can't just jump in the car and drive to my next appointment. It's what's most convenient. I have the resources to do that. Don't tell me I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to have something larger than our own immediate comfort to have in perspective,
mm-hmm.
because when it comes down, it, as you know from looking at the huge upset within the climate chaos that's happening, when the tsunamis come in and the hurricanes come in, it's not a beautiful world. It's just a ravaged world, and the people there are living in complete chaos and despair.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to open ourselves to that reality. It's sort of, there's a wonderful little cartoon in the Be the Change symposium that it shows four people on a little rowboat, and two people, it's got a big hole in it, and so two people at the end are bailing out frantically because the water's coming in, and the other two people are just like scurrying up to the top end of it going, boy, I'm sure glad there isn't a hole at our end. And it's like, give your head a shake. Hello. Well, you know, this is one small, beautiful little planet.
Yeah.
And we are given right now all of the tools that we need to see how interconnected we are. We've got the television, we've got Skype, we've got the internet, we've got Wikipedia and Google. We're able to access information and hear what's going on for people everywhere in the world at any moment. And we need to use this to recognize that we're all connected, and what we do is going to have a huge impact on everyone. And the children, you know, that are drowning on the other side of the boat are our children. Mm-hmm. And we're all going down together. Mm-hmm. Or not.
Or not, right. Okay. Maybe you could speak a little bit more about the program. How do people get involved? Where do they go?
Yeah. So, easy to get involved. On our website, you can go there and you can email us and ask for materials. And on our new website, which will be up maybe before we're on air, you can just download the materials from the website. Mm-hmm. And what you do is you bring a symposium into your community if you want to turn on a whole bunch of people. If you want to just get right into the circle, then call up some friends. Call up 15, 20, and then you'll probably get 10 or 12 that show. And then we've got materials so you can show them, you know, a little clip. You can speak to what's going on in the world. You can show them the materials that we've got to support them and say, let's do this. Let's get together for 6 weeks. We'll just make a 6-week commitment. We'll get together once a week, and we'll read this, and we'll do these actions. And then in 6 weeks, we'll have a celebration circle because we will have done our first module, and we can decide if we're ready to do our next one. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we can invite other people to come and join us in our celebration so that new people will be there and they'll join, and others that are leaving town for the next month will give it a break, and new ones will come in, and we'll continue in this process. Mm-hmm. And we'll support each other in being the change we want to see in the world. It's really not rocket science. It's a very simple, pragmatic, grounded process.
Yeah.
And it takes, nonetheless, a significant commitment.
Yeah.
I often say, you know, the person that starts the circle, that's the next Buddha right there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, I was going to say reprogramming, but not exactly. I think it's tuning into the deeper programming that's already there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think you're valid that we, yeah, you know, we have to reprogram what's a whole lifetime of assumptions,
yeah,
and behaviors isn't going to fall away in a nanosecond.
Yeah.
It does take some doing. but it's growth. It's a wonderful process.
Yeah. Okay. Well, is there anything else you would like to talk about before we finish our interview here today?
I think we've covered a lot of ground. Yeah, there's a couple things. We are going to do our first gathering because we recognize that activating people with the symposium is a really important step. Engaging us in the circles is an excellent next step. And then coming together in community is another really important part of this process.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have our first annual gathering. It's called The Great Turning, and it will take place on Saturday, May 23rd. And we're going to do it at the Maritime Labor Hall on Triumph Street.
Mm-hmm.
And
Triumph Street. That's nice. Fitting.
Triumph? Yeah. I know. That's kind of a good thing.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a really unconference. This is not your traditional masculine
conference. Okay.
So instead of having a bunch of experts at the top of the stage come in from out of town to tell us what to do and how to do it,
uh-huh,
we are recognizing that we have all the wisdom that we need right here in Vancouver and that we are the ones we've been waiting for. We're setting up this room in circles so that they're, you know, round tables, and there'll be 10 people at a table.
Mm-hmm.
And each table will have a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, are you familiar with the TED Talks? These amazing
This is a great thing that's been spreading like wildfire.
Yeah,
I've been hearing about this every day lately.
Fabulous. So this is borrowing from the TED Talks in that the speakers at each table will have prepared their presentation. In fact, they'll have written it out and handed it in to us ahead of time,
mm-hmm,
because that will then be available online for people afterwards to have as fodder for their dialogue and their action circles. At any rate, what they're addressing is what they think is a very significant issue that needs to be addressed in our community, and very important and very urgent. And they are, many of them, they've devoted their lives to learning about these issues, so they're wonderful resources.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of these people will be at a table, and then we will have dialogue. So 35 conversations. They'll do a 15-minute presentation talk at the table
mm-hmm.
without notes. That's part of the TED Talk.
No notes.
No notes. So they share their wisdom, and then everyone at the table dialogues on what they've heard, and they brainstorm on what are the actions that we would do. You know, what would I do differently knowing this? What are the things that we can do to turn this around?
Mm-hmm.
So a very positive, constructive conversation about how to make that vision of how it can be a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then after this, then everybody changes tables. And so there'll be a number of these conversations happening throughout the day. Amazing people sitting at these tables. This is the inner core of the great turning
mm-hmm.
of people that are eco-activists, eco-innovators, and eco-consciousness that are all gathering together. And you're all welcome to join us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, wonderful, wonderful. I get goosebumps when you're talking about all these initiatives.
Oh, good.
It really speaks to me. I do too.
The other part of the Great Turning that I want to mention is that we're partnering with another organization called the Global Oneness Project. Global Oneness Project are out of San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and their mission is to convey through stories of people all over the world our global oneness. And they are amazing, beautiful short films that are stories of people that are being the change.
Mm-hmm.
And so that brings us our global perspective, because
mm-hmm.
these are stories from people on the other side of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see, they're like, you know, anywhere from 4 minutes to 17 minutes long, these films. So we'll see three of those in the course of the day also, and that will be also a focus for our dialogue and change actions. Really delighted that they're partnering with us and coming out from San Francisco to join us.
Okay.
Yeah. So thank you, Ryan. Thank you for all that you are and all you're bringing to the world and the show that you've put together. And to all of your listeners for their awareness and for all that they can bring to this great turning that's underway.
Okay.
And for being the change they want to see in the world.
Yes, and thank you, Maureen. I've been speaking with Maureen Jacques-Lacroix of Be the Change Earth Alliance here on Sustainable Futures. You're listening to Sustainable Futures on CGSF 90.1 FM. Up next is our correspondent Maria Purse-Dotter interviewing a couple of SFU representatives on the Earth Hour event.
This is Maria Purse-Dotter interviewing Heidi Pretty and Carl-Oscar Tayan from the Campus Climate Change Action Group. Welcome to Sustainable Futures.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Climate Change Action Group is planning an event called Earth Hour that's going to be taking place on March 28th at 8:30, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
So Heidi, can you tell us a little bit about the Earth Hour initiative?
Well, Earth Hour started in 2007 in Sydney, Australia, with 2.2 million homes turning off their lights. The very next year, it became a global initiative with over 50 million people across 35 countries participating. The goal this year is for over 1 billion people to participate. Already, there are 74 countries and territories on boat with the Earth Hour.
Oh, that's amazing. So I'm sure many people are wondering how it really makes a difference to just turn off your lights for 1 hour. What is sort of the long-term goal with an initiative like this?
Yeah, that's what we want to emphasize. That this is not really about the greenhouse gas reductions that we're doing and doing this for 1 hour. And it's not really about sitting in the dark or anything like that. It's about showing a commitment. It's about making your concern about climate change visible. Because many people are concerned about climate change, and they can say that they are, and it's very easy to just say something. But once you do something that has much more power, people will not demand anything from their politicians unless they have done something themselves. When they can say, people like me care about climate change, and people like me turn off their lights, then suddenly they have done something, and then they can also demand something. It gives people power, and it also sends out a strong signal to politicians that this is an issue that they need to take seriously.
Right, that's a really neat idea. I guess it's also a way to show people how simple it can be to make lifestyle changes that are necessary if we are to reduce our overall carbon and environmental footprint.
Exactly. This is Earth Hour is a great first step in moving towards a life which is more sustainable, which is more green. It does show just how simple it is to make small changes in your life, such as turning off the lights when you leave a room or when you don't need them on, which can have great impacts on the world.
And it's also about the bigger picture, you know? It's about you having the right to demand policy changes that will really make the big differences that we need. So it's also personal commitment on the small scale and also bigger demands for politicians to make the radical changes that are needed to reduce climate change.
Okay. Oh, that's an interesting idea. So what's going to be happening on campus on March 28th?
First of all, we're going to have most of the buildings around campus to turn off their lights and heating and fans and stuff like that for an hour.
That's amazing.
So that's really good that we got the whole university on board. We got Sustainable SFU to join in on
this. Facilities management.
They're all joining in. So that's amazing, the response we've gotten from the university. Those things will be turned off, everything except what is necessary sort of for security reasons. So that's really, really good.
In cooperation with ResLife, many of the residence buildings the lights will be turned off, and community advisors will be encouraging students to turn off the lights in their rooms as well. Many of the field lights will be turned off, as well as the lights in other buildings around residence. Also, we'll be having an acoustic concert held in the townhouse courtyard at 8:30, which will sort of serve to show that something like an initiative like Earth Hour is not only about building awareness about sustainability, but also about building community, and that these events can bring people together and you can have a lot of fun.
That's a really important aspect of the event, right?
I think so.
So can you just remind us when Earth Hour is happening again?
Earth Hour will be happening at 8:30, Saturday, March 28th.
Before we wrap this up, do you have any last comment? Anything else that you want to say?
Make sure you check on your neighbors to see if they turn off their lights. Oh, and then bug them and say if they didn't.
Also, I would just like to add that something like the townhouse concert is very motivating in showing how many other people care about sustainability issues and are participating. They're your allies in creating a greener world.
Okay, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You are listening to Sustainable Futures on CJSF 90.1 FM, and up next is an interview with Ricky Mayatake of Echo Circle.
This is Ryan Fletcher of Sustainable Futures talking with Ricky Mayatake of Tejin Fibers, and he's working with Echo Circle, and we're going to ask him today a little bit about this Echo Circle project that he's familiar with. First of all, what is EcoCircle?
EcoCircle is a world-first closed-loop polyester recycling system. In short, we collect used polyester products and then recycle them into new polyester materials. It is a very eco-friendly process. It can reduce about 80% of energy consumption and carbon dioxide emission compared with original polyester raw material production. If you use this process, you can recycle again, again, and again.
Okay, and how does it work?
EcoCircle is a unique process. We collaborate with apparel and sportswear companies worldwide to make this system work, involving end users. For example, we have been cooperating with Patagonia since year 2005, their customers return their used polyester products to the stores, which will be sent to a recycling plant in Japan, where we chemically decompose them and convert it into new polyester raw material. We also develop and manufacture recyclable products in collaboration with EcoCircle members using polyester materials made from recycled yarn and fabric. The whole thing works like a circle, and this is why it is called EcoCircle.
Okay, so you take the chemicals out? Is that a unique thing that's never been done before, like breaking down chemicals?
Actually, so there's two recycling processes in the world. One is material recycling, the another one is chemical recycling.
Mm-hmm.
So we developed the chemical recycling. So we go back to molecular level of polyester raw material. The quality of our recycled polyester raw material is completely same as regular polyester from petroleum.
That's pretty incredible. How close are items to their original condition after the process is finished? How close are items to their original condition after the EcoCircle is finished?
Our EcoCircle has a technology to produce recycled polyester raw material with completely same quality from crude oil. So there is no quality downgrade, unlike conventional polyester recycling process. We can make any kind of polyester products by EcoCircle system.
Mm-hmm. How many people are using this right now?
Right now, we have around 110 registered members who we cooperate with for the EcoCircle program. Among them, about 15 overseas members. Most of them are from North America and Europe. They have very high environmental awareness.
How did this idea come about? Where did it originate?
Teijin established the Teijin Group Global Environmental Charter in 1992. This was the starting point to take a consideration for environment, how our company contributes to human being and community by using our high polymer chemical technology.
Mm-hmm.
When the EcoCircle project first started in 1999, our focus was recycling school uniforms and company uniforms in Japan. Then it evolved to become a more consumer-oriented project, cooperation with department stores, fashion apparel, and active sportswear manufacturers.
Is there anything more you wanted to talk about before we finish our interview here today?
Yeah, actually, so this is a very, very eco-friendly, and then the quality is the most important thing. Then eco-friendly is the second, the important things.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So we can achieve the both of them, quality and environmental friendly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the...
Okay.
Yeah, most important things. Please follow up two things.
Well, thank you for talking about EcoCircle, a very high quality recycling initiative coming out of Japan. And I've been talking with Ricky Miyataki of Teijin Fibers Limited. Thank you for giving us your time here today on Sustainable Futures.
Thank you, Ryan.
Now, the following is some interviews with some local SFU sustainability clubs at the Sustainable SFU event that was held last fall as part of an episode of CJSF's Ideas and Issues.
So as you heard earlier, this is CJSF 90.1 SFU Radio Burnaby, the Ideas and Issues Hour. You're here with Sasha and Adam. We're talking with the participants of SFU's Sustainability Festival at the Convocation Mall. Started at 10, continues till 5, and we have our next guest.
Hi, I'm Maggie, and I'm here with the Campus Climate Network, and we are just launching a project called Go Beyond. Should I just talk a little bit about the project?
Yeah. Elaborate, please.
Okay, great, yeah. So basically, the Campus Climate Network, we work with post-secondary institutions across the province. So right now we're working with 18 different schools, and we basically support students, student leaders, student groups in terms of initiating climate action on their campuses. And the Go Beyond project was just started this fall, so it's brand new. It's really exciting. And we've got a number of different program pillars, but a couple of the really exciting ones is around transformative education. So for that, we're asking, for instance, we're hosting a teach-in at the end of October, in which we're asking professors to dedicate 15 to 20 minutes of their class to talk about how their particular discipline connects with climate change, and to start a dialogue around, like, how can we start integrating sustainability and climate change into all of these different disciplines and where it really needs to be. And the other thing that we're doing today is talking to people about personal commitments within their own life that they can start to take and then go beyond climate neutral. So not only doing actions in their own life that will make a difference, but then connecting with larger initiatives that can only be done through collaboration between many people.
And how's your day been?
It's been great. Yeah, there's been lots of friendly faces and lots of people really interested. It's great to see so many different vendors out there too, such diverse things. So it's really neat to see that there's so much happening at SFU and within the community around sustainability and lots of climate change stuff too, which is which is our particular interest. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Maggie.
Okay, great.
Okay. We have our fourth and fifth guest. From BC Hydro Outreach, we have Corey Toll and Sonia Perez. Ladies,
hello.
Please tell me about your day.
We're here today to talk to the youth and students at SFU about a new program called and contest called Invent the Future. And we are asking 13 to 29-year-olds to come, and they can enter the contest, and you can either create a video 30 to 60 seconds long, or you can write an essay, 4 pages at the most. And our purpose is to try and get a conservation culture out there and people to think about actually bridging the gap between their intent and actual action in creating conservation methods. So the idea of the campaign is to create a video or your essay about different conservation methods that you can use, whether it's a product or actual action that you can take to conserve energy within your home and the province.
And what are the prizes you're giving away?
Prizes are really neat. The first place, the grand prize winner in each category, will get $2,500. And there's a runner-up prize, which is $1,000, as well as People's Choice. So people can go to inventthefuture.ca. They can vote for their favorite entry, and they will get the People's Choice winner will get an iPod Touch.
Fantastic.
Kind of a lot of neat prizes.
Is this to start a dialogue about conservation methods and get the ideas going?
Yeah, exactly. So for BC Hydro, conservation culture is a really important thing. So starting with the youth of BC is a really great way to get that going and get people interested in, yeah.
I walked past your booth earlier and I saw some golf going on. Can you tell me about that?
It's actually a hockey game, and
oh, okay.
So yeah, you can come by the booth and you can shoot a little puck and see, you know, if you can get it into the net. And we have prizes if you can give us some good energy tips and whatnot. And an important thing to know about the contest is that the deadline is October 31st to get your videos and essays in, and you can register online at inventthefuture.ca.
Okay.
Yeah. So we brought a couple of prizes for you guys.
Oh, fantastic.
For a little thank you.
Goodies.
We have two Post-it pads.
Oh my gosh.
Invent the Future Post-it pads. And we have biodegradable corn pens that have our website on them.
Fantastic.
You're welcome.
And what would that website be?
BCHydro.com.
Wow.
Okay, thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't get too wet out there.
Dress.
I'm Sasha Hosania, and I'm talking with the participants of SFU Sustainability Festival at the Convocation Mall, which started at 10 o'clock this morning and will continue till 5 p.m. I'm joined by Adam Huggins. The festival features live music, dance performances, face painting, and mini hockey. You can participate in the free cycle exchange by dropping off used or extra clothing, small appliances, books and other stationery. Incidentally, the SFU business professor Boyd Cohen will announce the winner of the greenest person on earth.
The greenest person on earth? Color wise? That's fantastic.
That's interesting. Welcome back. We finally have a guest. Introduce yourself, please.
Hello, I'm Crystal Mishra. I'm a communications student at SFU, and I work at the SFU bookstore.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
How's that?
It's fun. I mean, you know, it's a good job.
I actually should have applied for that job as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well. Anyway, so why are you here today?
Awkward.
Well, I work at the bookstore, and since it's the Sustainability Festival, we have a big setup outside selling books, clothing, school supplies, different articles that are sustainable and good for the environment. And all our plastic bags that we give out for our books are biodegradable, so that's good on the SFU bookstore.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I've been noticing all the notebooks that say SFU on them, and they say thinking of the future, and they say they're environmental
exactly.
and sustainable.
It's getting more environmentally friendly, so that's good.
How did you become interested in this? How did you get the sole position of explaining this to people?
Well, I've actually been taking a few courses on climate change and the environment as part of my science requirement for school, so it actually does interest me. And since I was working today, they asked me if I wanted to be outside, so I said yes. So
you said you're a communications major?
Yes, I am.
Me too.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
High five.
It's my last semester.
Oh, really? I've been another 2 years, I think.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Me too.
It's really interesting. I actually took REM 100.
So did I.
How did you find that course?
I got a lot of information, actually. I learned a lot, but science is not my forte, so.
Yeah, me neither.
So you've come here with a number of books. We have Climate Change, A Groundworking Guide, The Low Carbon Diet, Simply Organic.
Mm-hmm.
What significance do they have to you at
the moment? As far as sustainability goes, I think it's important to know that there's various ways that you can be sustainable. It's not just with your cars and your houses and electricity, but the way you cook, the clothes that you wear, everyday things that you can do slowly to be more sustainable. So there's all various different kinds of cooking and diets and foods that you can eat that are also sustainable, as you can see outside. There's actually one interesting book, I didn't bring it, but it's the top 50 sustainable cities in the United States, and they go through each one and they talk about what each city is doing to be more sustainable. So I'd have you know that the most sustainable city in the United States is Portland.
Hey.
Second is
Portland.
Seattle. And third is San Francisco. So it's everything on the West Coast, close to us. So.
That's where I'm from.
Oh,
that's
really?
Fantastic.
You're from Seattle or Portland?
I'm from San Francisco.
Oh, are you?
I cannot quite claim my sustainable
California?
Street cred from Portland, Oregon.
You came from California to Vancouver?
I came from California to Vancouver.
And what made
But
you
now guys? I think I'm going to go back because you guys just aren't sustainable enough, apparently.
<We're not. laughs>
Where does Vancouver rank on our sustainable
list? It was only the top 50 American states. I don't know about the Canadian ones.
Are we not in America? No.
No, we're not.
North America.
North America. And it was the United States.
United States of America.
Yeah, but I thought that was pretty interesting. I learned that today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for dropping by.
Awesome.
And I'll stop by the bookstore sometime.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure you have to.
Thanks.
Well, well, well. I hope you enjoyed the episode today. This concludes the episode of Sustainable Futures, episode number 25. It's a bit of a landmark episode. We are a quarter of the way to 100. If you enjoy this program, then you can also download episodes of the program on the website radioforall.net. That is radio, the number 4, all.net. And just search Sustainable Futures, and I have quite a few of the episodes up there. And you can download them onto your computer and listen to them at your convenience. The next few episodes are on inspiring activities going on in the world of agriculture. Now, of course, what is sustainability without a good, proper diet and healthy lifestyle? And that's why I'm putting so many episodes forth to the topic, and there's some really good interviews. We're going to be covering natural farming, the urban schoolyard, and the restoration of the Great Plains. And this is going to be on the next 4 episodes of Sustainable Futures. So if you dig it, then you will dig it. And the song played in this episode was Gaia by James Taylor.